Praise the Lord. Hymn number 125, and we'll stand. I think the words of this hymn says it all. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. I'm so glad that he's still working on me. Amen. Oh, glory. We're going to sing all four, beloved, of 125. We'll stand.
Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I'm found. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, oh power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine.
Oh, glory to God, the words on this fourth stanza, beloved. Look at it. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. Is that your prayer this morning? Yes. Sing it to the Lord like you mean it. Glory. On the fourth.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me.
Oh, praise the Lord, beloved. I think they mean it. Glory to God. Please be seated and let's grab our Bibles this morning. So good to sing the old hymns of the faith. I got another good one for you in a little bit. But in the meantime, let's open up our Bibles to the book of Exodus. Exodus this morning. How I love the book of Exodus. I love all the Old Testament, but this particular book of Exodus is a book of redemption. Amen? It's a book of deliverance. It's a book of God's mighty working on the behalf of his believing people. Look with me here in Exodus chapter 3 this morning. Exodus chapter 3. And keep in mind, beloved, that we're going back 3,500 years in history this morning in Exodus chapter 3. It's 1500 B.C. The children of Israel have been in bondage for 400 years in Egypt under Pharaoh's domain. Pharaoh is a type of the devil. The devil loves to hold folks in bondage. Amen. I'm so glad that there is a divine deliverer. His name is Jesus Christ that can free us from his clutch. Amen. It would appear that God had forsaken the Israelites after 400 years, but he didn't. Because God had a plan to deliver his people, his chosen elect nation, here in chapter 3. And he's about to call a man to lead them out of bondage. Look with me in Exodus chapter 3. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. I want to speak to you this morning, beloved, on the call of Moses. The call of Moses. Look with me in Exodus chapter 3, and we read, "Now Moses kept the flock of his Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God. even to Horeb. Now, time out, church. Notice that Moses got alone with God. He's out in the backside of the desert by the Mount of God. Amen? God is going to get a hold of you when you get alone with him. Amen? Now, look at verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. I want to speak to you, beloved, briefly on the call of Moses this morning. Father in heaven, how we thank you for the word of God here in the third of Exodus. How we thank you for what is occurring in this incredible passage. And how we thank you that you are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. I'm so grateful, Lord, that you're still delivering the captives out of bondage. I'm so thankful today, Lord, that you've got a plan and purpose in the earth, and we can be a part of that. Lord, I thank you for the call of Moses. As I read and meditate upon this passage, I see so many things that need to be said. Oh, Lord God, I pray you'd give me wisdom, Holy Spirit. As we preach your word this morning, let the Lord Jesus be magnified, and let your will be done in the lives and hearts of your people. In Jesus Christ's name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, beloved. I'd ask you to listen closely this morning, church. As we examine the divine call of Moses, the man of God, called the servant of God. Now, in the first chapter of Exodus, we see a picture of helpless bondage. In the second chapter, we see failure and despair. But here in the third, the Almighty Deliverer appears on the scene. Amen? Listen, Pharaoh is dead. Darkness, sorrow, oppression, and misery were now increasing over Israel because a new Pharaoh rose up that knew not Joseph. But God knew where to find a man suited just right for his great plan of deliverance. Moses is now 80 years old. For 40 years, God has been preparing him in the wilderness. Did you hear what I said? It takes a long time for God to prepare one for ministry and for a special task. Amen? And Moses had attempted to save his brethren 40 years earlier. You remember that? And he failed miserably. But now he receives the call of God for this great work. I see four incredible things from our text this morning taking place in this passage, beloved. I want to call your attention to them. First, we'll see a startling manifestation. Second, we'll see a timely resolution. Third, a gracious revelation. And finally, a definite commission. So follow me closely this morning. And first, I want you to notice a startling manifestation here in our text. Look with me at verse number 1. Now Moses. Oh, I love that. The children of Israel are in bondage. The children of Israel are under the hot, evil hand of Pharaoh down there in Egypt. And the Bible says, now Moses. Now. Amen. God's got a plan now, church. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. When he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. It's a startling manifestation. Amen. In a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. And the bush was not consumed. Now listen carefully here this morning, beloved. What we have taking place is called a theophany. A theophany is a pre-incarnate appearance of the second person of the Godhead. They happen all through the Old Testament, where Jesus Christ shows up, amen? And in Joshua chapter 5, he shows up as the captain of his salvation. The angel of the Lord, that's the Lord Jesus Christ here in verse number 2. Notice that. The, not an angel, the angel of the Lord appeared. And he calls him God in verse 4. Glory to God, it's a theophany. Now, this great light, this great flame of fire was the visible token of God's immediate presence. This great sign signified three things. It's the Shekinah glory, amen? It's the presence of the living God. And it signifies three things. First, this startling manifestation signified purity, amen? Look at verse 2. It signified purity. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a what?
Flame.
Flame of fire. Paul said, our God is a consuming fire. Amen. But, beloved, do you know what fire does? It purifies. Fire purifies the dross. I am so glad for the fire of God. Listen, the presence of God in the soul devours the uncleanness and impurities of the heart. Amen. And look at me in Malachi. Hold your place in Exodus. Flip over to Malachi. Just before Matthew, you'll find the little book of Malachi, the final book of the Old Testament, in fact. Malachi for you Italians. And go to Malachi chapter 3. Look at this verse. Malachi chapter 3. Fire purifies. Amen? By Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger. That's John Baptist. And he shall prepare the way before me. That's the second person of the Godhead. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. It's Messiah. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's what?
Fire.
Fire. And like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of the silver. And the shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. He says when this great Messiah shows up, he's going to be a purifier of his people. Amen. I'm so glad that this great manifestation signified purity. And he's preparing Moses with this holy fire for ministry. Secondly, it signified power. This startling manifestation signified great power. Look at verse 2 again. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. The bush burned with fire. Now, when the Holy Spirit came down at Pentecost, beloved, to empower the disciples, do you know how it appeared? It appeared, listen, in the likeness of tongues of fire. Listen now, if we are made partakers of the divine nature through regeneration, we are made partakers of an almighty power. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit of God that enters us upon the day of our salvation. You don't need a second blessing. You don't need a second birth. You've got the Holy Ghost if you're saved. Amen? And you got it when you believed. Now, Jesus said, ye shall receive what? Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Church, I'm here to tell you this morning that you've got power. I want to remind you, the Holy Spirit of God is in you, and he wants to work through you in a mighty power. Thirdly, This startling manifestation signified mystery. Look at verse 2 again. It says, "And behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed." What? It's a mystery. Listen carefully. This holy consuming fire was in the bush, yet the bush was preserved. Beloved, we must understand that this bush represents two things. It represents the elect nation, Israel, and it represents the elect bride, the church of Messiah. Listen carefully, beloved. It represents the Jewish people, the physical seed of Abraham, that God promised would endure and possess the land of Israel forever. Amen? And it also symbolizes the church, the bride of Christ. He said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against my church." I'm so glad that we're preserved. Yeah, the fire is burning, the fire of the Holy Spirit of God, but we are preserved. Amen? Oh, I'm so glad this morning. Go with me to Romans chapter 11. Hold your place again in Exodus. We'll be coming back. But in Romans chapter 11, here's a great mystery. And Paul says, "I would not that you should be ignorant," that's unknowing, "of this mystery. I want you to understand what God is doing." Amen? Look with me in Romans chapter 11. Don't miss this. In Romans chapter 11, look with me at verse 25. Paul says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery." Why is it a mystery? It's a mystery because the world doesn't understand what the Holy Spirit's about to say. They don't. Many Christians don't understand what it's about to say. Look at it. "That ye should not be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." He's saying it's a mystery. Israel is still a nation today. They're preserved. How many millenniums this nation has been preserved by God? And the day is coming when they will be born again in a day. Oh, what a great mystery it is. I'm so thankful that the bush burned, but the bush was not consumed. The Jews are not consumed, Mr. Hitler. The Jews are not consumed, Mr. Ahmadinejad. The Jews are not consumed, Muslim Brotherhood. I'm so glad that they are preserved mysteriously as this bush was. Yes, indeed, all Israel shall be saved. Dr. Robert Bruce, the great preacher of Scotland, was once reluctant to answer God's call to ministry. But when he finally got a glimpse of the infinite glory, he surrendered all. He later wrote, and I quote, "I would rather walk through a mile of burning brimstone every night than to spend over again those midnight hours when I fought against the call of God in my life." Listen, beloved, Brother Bruce understood something because he got a startling manifestation of the glory of God. You'll never be the same when you encounter this God as Moses did. But something else I want you to see back in our text in Exodus chapter 3. Not only was there a startling manifestation, but there was a timely resolution. Moses made a timely resolution. Look with me in Exodus 3. Look at verse 3. "And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I." Beloved, listen carefully. Moses makes a very timely resolution here in verse 3. Do you realize that Moses could have walked away from God at this point? Moses didn't have to answer God's call. Moses could have went his own way, as so many people do today. So many Christians do today. They don't want to answer God's call. They're afraid of what he might ask them to do. Folks, listen to me. When God calls you, say, "Here am I. Send me." No matter what it is he's got planned for you, he'll give you the grace to get through it. I'm here to tell you this morning, Moses turned aside. He made a resolution. "I'm going to see what God is fixing to do in my life." Amen? Listen carefully. Three things about this timely resolution. First, this turning aside to God was necessary. It was necessary. Look at verse 3. "And Moses said, I will." I like that. He didn't say, "I won't." He said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Listen carefully, beloved. We must exercise our will, amen, to say yes to God's call. We must turn aside from the world and be separated unto his calling. We must turn aside from sinful pleasures and carnality and say yes to God. We must turn aside from our own plans and schemes and purposes and designs and seek his. We must turn aside to see this great sight like Moses did, to see this great God that we serve, to see him in all his glory and love and power. What a resolution he makes here. I will turn aside and see this great sight. Beloved, when you see a new light burning in the bush of God's providence over your life, or in a text of his word, turn aside. Turn aside to see what great things he has for you. Secondly, this timely resolution, this turning aside to God, was not only necessary, but it was with a purpose. Look at verse number 3. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Beloved, listen. His mind is made up. Amen? Moses has made the choice. I'm going to go with God. I'm leaving the backside of the desert. I'm going to go where he sends me. I'm going to do what he calls me to do. Have you made that decision in your life? Oh, how important it is to come to the point in your life where you surrender. We sing, I surrender all. Do we? We can sing the songs and not mean it. We need to surrender. We need to make this timely resolution, and we need to do it with a purpose. Amen? Not half-heartedly. Moses now purposes to find out why. Look at that, verse 3. Look at verse 3. And I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Moses says, I am going to dig a little deeper, and I'm going to find out what God's up to. Amen? He does it with purpose. He wants to know what God was wanting to do in his life, and he now sets his face like a flint to discover God's will and calling on his life. And he did. Look with me in Jeremiah. And you know, don't turn there. Let me just quote it to you. Jeremiah 29:13. God said to the people of Israel, when ye shall seek after me with all your heart and with all your soul, then shall ye find me. You know what God wants? He wants us to turn aside to him with a purpose. He wants us to mean it. Glory to God. But thirdly, this timely resolution not only was necessary, not only was with a purpose, but this turning aside involves hearing God's voice. Amen? It involves hearing God's voice. Look at verse 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here am I. You know what Moses did in verse 4? He heard the voice of God. Beloved, listen to me this morning. If you're ever going to accomplish anything for God, you're going to have to learn to hear his voice. You're going to have to turn the television off. You're going to have to get away from the wife and kids. You're going to have to get alone in your prayer closet and get hold of God and listen to his voice. Moses hears the very voice of God. How beautifully does the scripture expose the personal, intimate interaction that occurred between the Lord and Moses here. It's precious, folks. And this is you. This is you this morning we're talking about. You and him. Amen? Just you and the Lord alone on the backside of the desert. Beloved, the voice of God will soon be heard in the soul when we have yielded to his invitation. Amen? You know why many of God's people do not hear his voice today? They're too distracted. They're too busy. They got more important things to do than come and listen to that preacher. They got more important things to do than be in God's house and serve him faithfully. Oh, they're too busy to hear God's voice. In 1842, when Dr. Robert Moffat, the Scottish missionary to South Africa, came back from to recruit missionaries for the harvest field, they're greatly lacking missionaries at the time, 1842. He was greatly disappointed that because of a snowstorm in London, there were only a few women in the church he was to preach at. His text that night was Proverbs 8:4. Unto you, O men, I call. There was no men present. But he said, I know God wants me to preach this text. In his distress, he failed to notice a little boy in the loft who rang the church bells. Well, at the invitation, Dr. Moffat was greatly surprised when that little boy came down from the loft, came forward to the altar, and surrendered his life to go to Africa and preach the gospel. His name? David Livingston. David Livingston. What an impact! The man won over 1 million souls to Jesus Christ. Dr. Moffat knew he was to preach that text. Folks, you've got to make a timely resolution. But thirdly, this morning, quickly, notice he receives a gracious revelation. Look at verse number 5. I see a gracious revelation. In verse 5, and he said, God speaking, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, not was. See that? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are alive. They're with me, God tells Moses. They're not dead. They're alive in paradise. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. You know what he's getting? He's getting a gracious revelation from God. And I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a strange, large, unto the land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hivites and all the Ites peoples. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. He says, Moses, I'm going to reveal to you what I'm about to do. Church, I hope you're listening this morning. Because God wants to reveal to you what he's about to do on planet Earth. Oh, I'm so glad we've got ears to hear the voice of the Lord in this church. I'm so glad that we've made a timely resolution that we're going to serve him till he comes. Amen, church? I'm so glad this morning that he's making gracious revelations to us. I love our Sunday nights. We're studying prophecy and eschatology. We're learning all about what's coming down the pike from our Heavenly Father. Listen carefully, beloved. In turning aside, Moses was turning to God, and in turning to God, he received a threefold revelation. First, he received a revelation of God's gracious character. Amen? Look at verse 5. Verse 5, and God said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet. Why, Lord? For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. I want to ask you a question, church. Why was the place holy that Moses was standing? Why?
Because God was present.
Bingo, Tim! God was present. You know what he's doing? He's granting Moses a revelation of his divine character, and that is one of holiness. God is a holy God, beloved. I don't care how many laws they pass about homosexual union and homosexual marriage and the murder and abortion of unborn children. God is holy and he hates sin. And God is saying, Moses, if you're going to serve me, you're going to have to know something about me. I'm a holy God. And I expect holiness from my servants. Folks, we're living in a Laodicean church age. Holiness is a forgotten doctrine of the Bible. We've got churches that are filled to standing room only with preachers that are just oozing with honey out of their mouths and telling them what they want to hear. They won't tell them God is a holy God and he hates sin. Moses receives a revelation of God's gracious character. God is holy. In fact, God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Beloved, the first thing that God wanted Moses to know is that he is a holy God and that wherever God is holy ground. Holy ground. Where's God this morning? That's right. He's in you and you and you and you. You are, I want to tell you something, church. You are holy ground. What? That's right. You are holy ground because God is in you. I will tell you the truth this morning. You're holy ground. We need to live that way. We need to behave that way. In Leviticus 19 and verse 1, don't turn there. God said, be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And they didn't even have the Holy Spirit, folks. Wow. Secondly, this revelation he received a revelation of God's gracious character. And secondly, he received a revelation of God's compassion and sympathy. I like this. Look at verse 7. He received a revelation of God's compassion and sympathy. Verse 7, we read, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the what?
Affliction
of my people, which are in Egypt, and have what?
Heard
their cry. by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. You know what God is saying here? He's saying, Moses, I am a God of compassion and sympathy and mercy, and I'm going to deliver my people because I love them. I care about them. And I care about what they're going through. Church, I want to encourage you this morning. He loves you, and he is concerned for you, and he cares about what you're going through. He's compassionate. Moses saw that God knew their sorrows, that God knew their heartaches, that God knew their affliction. He saw their bondage. He was moved with sympathy and compassion. This same God heard the groaning cry of a condemned world and sent his son to save us. Wow. What a great God of compassion he is. He saw a world full of Adam's race in bondage to that old Pharaoh, the devil. And he said, I will go down and deliver them. Amen. That's compassion. Oh, glory to God. If we're going to answer God's call and serve him, we'll first have to see his heart full of compassion and develop one. Thirdly, he received a revelation of God's saving purpose. Oh, listen to me. Verse 8. Look at verse 8. God said, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto the land flowing with milk and honey. God says, I'm coming to save these people from the hand of the oppressor. Listen carefully, beloved. God had a plan. God came down in the form of a bush to save his people through his servant Moses. But God came down in Jesus Christ to save the world through his gospel. His plan was twofold. Notice in verse 8, his plan was twofold. Number one, to bring them out. See that? I have come, look at verse 8, I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. The first purpose of Jesus Christ is to deliver us out of the hand of Satan, the devil. Amen? He's here to deliver us out of the bondage of our sin. He's here to deliver us out of this evil, wicked world. I'm glad of that. Oh, I'm so glad he came to bring them out. But secondly, he came to bring them in. Look at verse 8. And to bring them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land into a good land, flowing with milk and honey. Listen to me, beloved. Jesus Christ comes not just to deliver us out of the bondage of the devil. He comes to give us an abundant, spirit-filled life, flowing with spiritual milk and honey. Amen? He comes to give us a life worth living. He comes to bring us in, to cross the Jordan, in the promised land, which is a victorious, spirit-filled life. And to bring them in, I love it. To truly see this world as the Father sees it. Moses, he says, I need you to understand my heart full of love for them. Listen, on Sunday, May 22nd, 1898, the Reverend D.L. Tupper of Philadelphia, referring to the life and death of Oliver Gladstone, the great preacher, he said that Gladstone wrote him a letter in 1893, just before his death, in which he penned these words just days before he went to be with the Lord. And I quote, Gladstone wrote, all that I think, all that I hope, all that I write, all that I live for is based upon the divinity of Jesus Christ, the central joy and chiefest treasure of my poor wayward life. Gladstone, like Moses, had received a gracious revelation of this great God we serve. Amen. He said, he is the central joy and chief treasure of my life. And he went home to be with them a few days later. We've seen a startling manifestation. We've seen a timely resolution, but something else. We've seen a gracious revelation, but finally, I want you to see a definite commission. Moses gets a definite commission. Look at verse 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. You know what he's receiving? A definite commission. And when you receive a commission from the Almighty God of heaven and earth, you better know you'll be successful. You cannot fail when God commissions you to do a job. Look at it. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, what? Excuse me, I don't think I quite heard that correctly, Lord. Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And God said, certainly I will be with thee. Folks, listen to me. When God gives you a job to do, he will be with you. He will hold your hand and he will do it through you. Are you listening? And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. God says, mark it down, take it to the bank, Moses. You're going to bring my people out, and you're all going to serve me on this mountain. Oh, glory to God, beloved. I'm so thankful that the revelation of God always precedes a commission by God. Amen? In this commission, Moses is told three things. First, he's told the time. Look at verse 10. When is he going to do it? Come when?
Now.
Therefore, Moses, now is the time to serve God. Beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning, there's no more time. If you are going to do anything for God, you best do it today. We don't know if we have tomorrow. That trumpet could blow before I get through preaching this morning. We have no time left. And God says, now is the time. God tells Moses, now come and serve me. Now that you've received a fuller vision of my glory. Now that you understand my saving purpose. Now that you know the desire of my heart, Moses. Now I can take you and break you and make you what I've called you to be. Amen. Beloved, we don't know if we have tomorrow. So come now and serve me today, he says. Notice the timing. It's now in the present. Secondly, notice the purpose. Verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Notice here, beloved, that God told Moses exactly what he was to do. I'm so glad that God doesn't leave us in the dark. I'm so glad that God doesn't give us foggy, dreamy, wishy-washy plans. No! He tells us exactly what he wants us to do it in our heart of hearts by his Spirit. Bring forth my people. This is a great purpose. Amen. They were in bondage. They were in misery. They were in captivity. But God says, they're mine. They're mine. And I've got a job for you to do. Go and bring them forth by declaring my will and word to them. You know what God told Moses to do? God said, you say this, this, and that to Pharaoh. He gave him the words to speak. Moses didn't have to make it up as he went. Amen. I'm so glad that God gave us a book that we can proclaim, thus saith the Lord. It's not my idea. It's God's word. Declare my will and my word to them. People, listen. God knows every individual that will respond to his invitation. And he wants us to go and tell them, thus saith the Lord. And God is today, through his sent ones, calling out a people to himself. Moses must understand this purpose of God. And so must we, if we're going to reach the lost. He received the timing. Now, he received the purpose. Bring them out. He received the authority, thirdly. Look at verse 10. Come now, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Watch it. And God said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou brought forth my people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God in this mountain. God says, look at verse 12. I have sent thee. You know what he received? Delegated authority. You know what you have, beloved, today? In Jesus' name, you have delegated authority. Jesus said, Behold, to his disciples, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen? In Jesus' name, the devil must flee. You know what our problem is, church? We don't recognize the authority we have in Jesus' name. The devil's having a field day. He's got most of God's people deceived into thinking he's some big tough one. When Jesus Christ has already beaten that old split foot and given us the authority over him. I will send thee. I will be with thee. Now in closing, listen carefully, beloved. In chapter 2 and verse 11, look at that. Chapter 2, verse 11, Moses went to the children of Israel in his own name and failed miserably. Remember that? But now he has the authority of heaven and the power of God to go. Moses got his Pentecost at the burning bush. The Spirit of God empowered him. He received his anointing for service right here in chapter 3 when God told him to go. Now let me ask you a question this morning, church. Have you received this authority? Have you received this commission? Have you received this calling? No, maybe you're not called to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. Maybe you're not called to go to Africa as a missionary. Maybe you're not called to stand at a pulpit and preach God's word. But you are called. You are called. You hear what I said? That every member of the body is important, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says. Every member has a job to do. Every member has a calling. Hey, your calling might just be a prayer ministry. Well, you get on your face in your prayer closet and you pray for this pastor and you pray for those missionaries and you pray for the gospel to go with power and for souls to get saved. Your prayer ministry, your ministry, your calling might be to give out gospel tracts. Amen? Everybody can give out gospel tracts. Tell somebody, hey, read this. You can get saved. You can go to heaven. You can know about my Jesus. Your ministry might be to teach a Sunday school class. Your ministry might be to go to China as a missionary. We don't know. Only God knows. But I know this. You've received delegated authority from him. Have you been sent forth in his name by his Spirit? Yes, if you're saved, you have. There must be a yielding to his call first before the power comes, before he will commission you, before he will empower you for service. We must say, yes, Lord, I will go. Look at verse 4. And Moses said, here am I. Isaiah said, here am I. Abraham said, here am I. Send me. Amen. We have to say those words. Lord, here am I. I am available for your service. In 1986, the year I got saved, I was running a linen route for White's Laundry in Lynn, Massachusetts. And I had just gotten saved. And David Goldstein, Jewish fellow, was the owner of White's Laundry. For 42 years, David Goldstein Sr. had run that company with an iron fist. He was good. He had that thing down to a science. He had over 100 employees, including me. And came time for old Dave to retire. And guess what he did? He turned the whole company over to his son, David Goldstein Jr. Looked just like him, except he was only 26. And David Goldstein Jr. became the president of White's Laundry in Lynn, Massachusetts. There was two guys that were fixing to retire within a matter of months. They were both 64 years old. And they didn't care for Dave Jr. because he was always a snotty little rug rat running around. They had no respect for him because he was just a kid. And he took over the reins of that company. And they wouldn't do anything he said. And he called him in the office and warned him. He gave him chance after chance. And finally, got to the point so bad where they defied him to his face. And said, we're not going to do what you say. You're just a punk. You know what he did? He fired them both. With just months before their retirement. They lost their pension. They lost everything. Why? They refused to submit to his authority. God sent his son to take hold of the reins of this world, in this universe. And if we don't submit to his authority, we're going to be cast out. Amen? Folks, it's important that we submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about to get saved. I'm talking about after you're saved. Oh, folks, Moses had a decision to make. The authority of his name, it's Jesus. Amen? And we need to submit to his authority. From the Gospel Herald, and I quote, industry's call to China. Listen, this is an actual ad in a newspaper. Industry's call to China. Several years ago, this ad appeared in an English newspaper seeking six young men to go work in China. It read as follows. Six courageous young men are needed at once to go to China to work in the Chinese Industrial Co-op, which trains men for the industrialization of China. They, six men, will be taking the place of George Hogue, a 31-year Oxford graduate who died of tetanus in northwest China beyond reach of medical aid. This guy was quite a worker because it took six guys to replace him. If you are, listen, this is what the ad said. If you are willing to take risk of disease, endure discomfort, eat only Chinese vegetables and white rice, talk Chinese, and possibly die, you may apply immediately at the Anglo-China Development Society. Anyone not prepared to take similar risks need not apply. But over 600 young men applied for these six slots. Yet how few have responded to similar challenges from the China Inland Mission, founded by Hudson Taylor, to preach the gospel. The world is outdoing us, folks. They're willing to risk their lives to industrialize China and catch tetanus and die. But how few Christians are willing to go and preach the gospel and serve God? You don't have to go to China. Go next door to your neighbor. Go down to Walmart. Go to the mall. Go down to the amusement park, wherever it might be. Go to the corner store and tell them about Jesus. Amen? Maybe God's not calling you to the mission field. But I'm here to tell you this morning, beloved, that every single one of us has a divine calling, like Moses. No matter where your sphere of influence is, God wants to use you. I tell Timmy, you can reach people I can't reach, Tim. You can reach people I can't reach, Val. You can reach people I can't reach, Carl. I don't drive a bus over there. You do. You got a calling, Mark. You got people in your life that I don't even know, that I'll never meet. But you know them. You know them, Miriam. You know them, brothers and sisters. And you can reach them because God's got a call on your life. Well, one last thing I want you to see back in our text. Exodus chapter 3, and I'll be done. Don't miss this. Look at verse 13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Folks, when you go and when you tell somebody about Jesus Christ and they ask you, Oh, who's this Jesus Christ that I should believe on him? You tell them, God the Father sent him, and you better believe on him. He's your only hope of escaping damnation in hell. I'm so glad this morning that we don't go in our own name. We don't go for our own ideas or plans or purposes, but we go because the I Am hath sent us in his name. Amen? And there's power in that name. Glory to God. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, thank you this morning for the word of God in Exodus chapter 3, the call of Moses. And Lord, how applicable it is to our lives today. As your believing people in the world, Lord, like Moses, you have appeared to us. You have revealed your glory to us. You have commissioned us with a great commission to go and preach the gospel to every creature under heaven. Lord, I thank you for that commission. And I thank you that this church is actively engaged, involved in carrying out that great commission. Till Jesus comes, we will, because you commanded us to do it. Lord, we love you today, and we thank you for the delegated authority we have in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we cannot fail like Moses. We will succeed because Jesus Christ is with us. The Spirit of God is within us. The Word of God has commanded us. And we will go in the name of the Lord our God. Thank you for it today. And thank you, Lord, not for the call of Moses, but thank you for the call of your people here at KJV Bible Baptist Church today. Thank you that we have answered that call. And thank you, Lord, that we are engaged in the activity of the gospel to the ends of the earth today. Thank you, Father. We pray, give us souls, Lord. I pray we get letters from all over the world. Folks getting saved through the website and through the preaching of your word. Oh, in third world countries, Lord, we pray for multitudes to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ before it's too late. Use us, Lord, for your honor and glory. That's my prayer as pastor of this church, that we would be greatly used as was Moses. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and the people said, Amen. 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 Beloved, let's grab our hymnals and stand for a closing hymn today. Perhaps the Lord has spoken to your heart, and we'll have a hymn of invitation. Let's open up to hymn 62. We'll stand, and hymn 62, we'll sing the first, second, and fourth. First, second, and fourth. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Sir Isaac Watts. Amen. At the cross.
Ascended, my Savior plead, and did my sovereign die. Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, at the cross, where I saw the light, and the burden of mine heart rolled away.
Thank you, Lord.
It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Times that I have done, he wrote upon that tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree.
Everybody now,
at the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Glory to God, beloved. Time out, time out. Perhaps the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed, with an uplifted hand, you'd say, Pastor, pray for me. God has spoken to me. God has laid someone on my, I see that hand, someone on my heart that I need to tell them about Jesus. I see that hand. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, somebody might be here this morning. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you need salvation. Say, Pastor, by an uplifted hand, pray for me. Pray for me. I see that hand. Praise the Lord. And Lord, I thank you for the honesty of your people here this morning. And I pray, Father, that you would meet those needs, oh God, as only you can. I thank you for your Holy Spirit's presence here this morning, that, Lord, you said where two or more are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Lord, thank you that your saving hand, Lord Jesus, is here. And, oh God, I just ask you to have your way in this time of invitation. Anybody at all want to come forward with every head bowed and every eye closed? You might want to get up and come forward, and you might want to get saved today. Anybody like that? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, I pray that you would bless those uplifted hands. I pray, Lord God, that you would give boldness, Holy Spirit, to reach those who you've laid on our hearts to preach the gospel. Give them a gospel tract. Tell them the plan of salvation. Tell them about the love of Jesus. Tell them what he did on that old rugged cross 2,000 years ago, and how they can be saved and born again, and they can go to heaven by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us boldness, Lord, like you did for Moses. Make us your servants, and thank you for your calling in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's get singing on the fourth. On the fourth, people.
Drops of grief can never repay that debt of love I owe.
Amen.
Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my eyesight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Brother Timmy to stand and dismiss us in prayer this morning. Don't forget tonight, the Lord's table. Oh, how we love that service. A special reflection upon what He hath done for us. Brother Tim, dismiss us in prayer.
Lord, thank you for blessing us with a pastor that knows your word and that preaches the truth, Lord God. I ask that you give us traveling mercies to be back here tonight, Lord God. And please bless anybody that missed this morning, that they'd be here this evening. Mm. And bless the Lord's table tonight, Lord God. And we ask this in the body of Son. Amen.
Amen. Praise